Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It's Donna, and I'm welcoming you to day 12 of 21 Days to Empowering You to Break Through. And God is doing amazing things. We just had a testimony of a mother whose son had been drug addicted. She saw no hope in that situation. And here we are, day 12, and already her son came to her out of the blue and said, ready to change my life, need to get clean. And he is on his second day of detoxing from his drug addiction. And we're hearing all kinds of testimonies about breakthrough and how God is moving. And that's really what this is all about. We're having a spiritual feast here. And it's just been amazing. We thank God for what he's doing. I want to ask my partner in this series, Deanna Allen, if she would be kind enough to open us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us and that it's through your grace that you give us good hope and encouragement and that these things continue forever for us. I thank you, Father, that we don't have to be anxious about tomorrow because you said that you will take care of tomorrow and you encourage us to live one day at a time. So we bring you this day and we make a decision right now just to live in today. We praise you and we thank you that you are faithful, that you strengthen us and that you protect us. I thank you that through these classes that we are learning how to not let the world around us squeeze us into its mold, but we ask you, Father God, that you will remake us, and that you will remake us in such a way we will have such breakthroughs that our whole attitude of mind will be changed. I thank you that now our attitudes and thoughts are changing for the better, and this is all because of you, Father. This is because of the blood of Jesus. This is because of your mercy and your grace. This is because of your unending, ever-pursuing, zealous, fiery love that comes after us, and your love covers all. So we thank you. I ask that you would anoint Donna to speak this word that I know you have placed in her heart. I ask that you would open the ears of those that would hear it, that they would be diligent in chewing on it, pressing in more for better understanding of it. I thank you for this journey that we are on. I thank you that you are in it with us, that if you are for us, who can be against us? We praise your holy name, and we say, have your way, Lord. Have your way, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I would urge those of you who are just tuning in today but haven't been in on the prior calls, do listen to day one where I said that it's a spiritual feast we're on, and that was an acronym where F stood for fasting. If there's an area in your life that just is not changing, whether it's an addiction in your own life or an addiction in a family member, an area that, I mean, you need the power of God and you know it. You've come to the end of yourself. Really, that kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. That's what Jesus said, and the witness of the saints and yours truly will bear it out. Fasting is absolutely essential to that. E stood for enumerating our sins as God directed. I'm going to bring balance to that today. To receive forgiveness, not condemnation. This is not going on a hunt and thinking about everything that we can figure out that's wrong with us, but simply coming to Jesus and allowing him to show us those areas of our lives, very specifically where we're falling short of the mark, that's what sin is, and where he wants to call us up higher and where the Holy Spirit's going to give us the power and the grace to come up higher. A was an attitude of humility. As long as we're in that place of pride, it's going to be pretty impossible for us to break through because we won't be willing to simply humble ourselves. The Bible says God, now this is scary, God opposes the proud. Oh, boy. You know, you think you're fighting with the devil. You think you're fighting with your kids or your husband. And, you're fighting with God because he's after something in your character and is to work humility in you. So kind of better to humble ourselves because if we don't, then God will help us get humble. S is to share the journey. You know, you'll never break through on your own. You've got to have accountability. You've got to have encouragement. You've got to have, you know, people standing in the gap with you where two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst. God is here on the phone. He's there on the Facebook group. You've got to share it with others. And then T was for time, extensive time in his presence. And today I really wanted to go back and revisit E, enumerating our sins, and bring balance into that area. And I said, there's a very dangerous question, that can really mess up your Christian life if you fixate on it. What's the question? what's wrong with me? I mean, just what is wrong with me? Why can't I keep up with the fast? I was going to do a 21-day fast, and it was going to be fantastic. You know, what's wrong with me? I mean, I just said yesterday that I wasn't going to stay up late at night, surfing the net. I was going to get up early this morning and have my quiet time, but I didn't do it. What's wrong with me? Oh, man, I'm so messed up. One of the theme songs in this group has been Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that includes all the stuff that's wrong with you. When I woke up this morning, an old praise chorus just sprung into my heart. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on him, and worship him. We used to sing it in South Jersey. We got some Jersey girls on the phone. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Some of us are fixated on everything that's wrong with ourselves. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, not even that pile of mess in the bedroom that we, you know, you said you're going to clean it up. Don't fixate on it, sisters, but on what is unseen. We have to be balanced. The Bible does say, you know, a man or a woman ought to examine herself to see if she's in the faith. We want to walk worthy of the high call upon our life, but it's not our job to convict of sin. Not other people's sin, and not even our own. It's the Holy Spirit's job to conform us more and more into the image of Christ. He doesn't need us to do his job for him. We don't need to look in the mirror every day and say, what's wrong with me? The Holy Spirit already knows. He knows. Yeah, he knows. And he's working on it if we'll let him. He just needs us to give him plenty of time, that was T, time to do his job, time quietly in his presence, allowing him to perform surgery. And one key to successful surgery is good lighting. You know, you never see a surgeon doing work in the dark. Surgery takes place in the light. Luke 11:34 says this, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. And I just want to share a couple things, and then our guest speaker has arrived. She's sitting behind me here. I'm very excited about this. In the Amplified version, it says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye, which is your conscience, is sound and fulfilling its office, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound and is not fulfilling its office, your body is full of darkness. And I was inspired last night. We were at my daughter is an intern at a local church, and they had a big event, and the preacher was kind of, you know, opening up this passage and just really inspired to share feeding you out of what God has been feeding me. But that word there can also be translated single. When your eye has a single focus, then there's light. There's the light and the healing. The Holy Spirit brings that in. When it does not have a single focus, when it's looking in a bunch of different directions, distracted, it brings darkness. And that verse can even be rendered an evil eye. When do we step out of the lightness and into the darkness? It's when we lose our single focus on Jesus, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And instead, we spend our time examining how we're not measuring up, how we're falling short, and pursuing our own idea of righteousness and how we can get right with God and earn points with him and make him happy with us, our list of Christian do's and don'ts. And then we beat ourselves over the head, searching our past, trying to figure out what's wrong with me. The problem, sisters, and I'm telling you from personal experience, is that very often, it's not just a bad habit. There's something spiritual going on. And that spirit, Satan literally means the accuser of the brethren. And that same spirit that wants to come in and show you everything that's wrong with you is not content with that single focus of what's wrong with you. It always has to multiply into what's wrong with everyone and everything. See, you know it's not the Holy Spirit. You know it's not God bringing conviction of sin and calling you up higher. When that question, what's wrong with me, quickly expands into what's wrong with everybody and what's wrong with everything. And I know, because this is the place that I was trapped in and have struggled to break free from for 30 years in my Christian life. I thought if I could just figure out everything that was wrong with me and then set about the task of figuring out where it all went wrong and trying to fix it, then I would become the woman of God that I really wanted to be and knew in my spirit that I could be. And it didn't work. It didn't work. The answer was fixing my eyes on Jesus. And now I'm going to have a testimony. Our special guest is none other than my oldest daughter, Leah. She's 22 years old. She's traveled in ministry into 16 countries around the world. She spent 3 months in Mozambique with Heidi Baker last year, and she's currently an intern at her church, and her call is to become a missionary in Uganda. But I had asked her this morning, she's never here. I mean, she's either at work, at church, she's there ministering to strippers and homeless people. I don't know what she's up to. She's out there doing crazy stuff for Jesus. And she just happened to be there this morning, and I asked her to briefly share her testimony of how her life changed when she stopped fixating on everything that was wrong with her and started fixing her eyes on Jesus. There you go.
All right, so when I first went to Mozambique, I was 21 at the time, pretty fresh, still out of the teen years, and definitely surrounded by peers who, you know, weren't making the best choices and really didn't have direction for their lives. And it was really easy to focus either on, you know, kind of the lost swimming pool that I was in, not really knowing, you know, what was coming next for me, you know, feeling this call to missions, but seeing everyone around me feeling called to business or feeling called to this or feeling called to that and always just trying to figure it out. And the door opened for me to go to Mozambique and to just spend some time there. And honestly, when I signed up for it, all I knew was that I was supposed to. I really didn't have a proper understanding of what exactly I was getting myself into. But thank God. And I went and I spent time, and you know, there were a lot of hands-on things that we did, a lot of work, a lot of ministering. But one of the most crucial points for me was just the hours that we spent with God, the hours that we spent seeking His face, the hours that we spent in worship or being poured into. And by just this incredible, like, heavenly osmosis, I just found that slowly but surely my heart was just softening and my confidence was just building. And, I, you know, by the time the 3 months was over, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was okay to pursue this dream that I've had in my heart since I was a child to be a missionary, and that it didn't have to all be realistic and I didn't have to, you know, have exactly the right path completely forged out before I took the first step, that I was just consumed by God's love and that seeking His face and seeking Jesus and seeking His peace, that through doing that, the path that I was on became so much clearer and so much more joyful. And it's funny because I think a lot of times we try and like figure it out and then bring the dream to God and say, okay, here's the dream, take it, you know, great, bless it now. And it was, for me, it was completely the opposite. It was seeking first His heart and seeking first His will. And you know, it's still not completely figured out. There's no ABC checklist, but there's an assurance that His grace is over my life, and there's an assurance that as long as I seek Him, that the doors that are supposed to open will open, and that all I have to do is be faithful to walk through them.
Awesome. That was beautiful, and she's just such a precious, precious woman of God, and both of my girls just inspire me every day. But there were things in her character and in her life that I, as her mother, was always very helpful to point out to her the things that were wrong with her and that needed to change, because I'm a mom, you know, that's part of my job. And, you know, it just didn't work. All it did was put a wedge between us. All it did was put her into condemnation, make her feel bad about herself and strain our relationship. And when she came home from Mozambique, it's now been over a year, she was a completely different person, and it wasn't temporary. Fundamental changes, breakthrough happened in her life. Areas of character that had been there from the time she popped out of the womb until 21 were just transformed. And it was for hours, the style of ministry that they have there is, it's focused on soaking in the presence of God, spending extensive time with Him, fixing your eyes on Jesus and letting him do the work as we abide in him. So I'm just really excited for her to share that testimony. So instead of examining, sisters, how we're falling short and all of those things, we need to have a single eye of focus on Christ, abiding in his presence, and that will yield the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit, not fruit. My younger daughter works at Yoga Berry. I'll have to get her on the phone and let her give her testimony another day. But it's one yogurt, and then they throw in some fresh blueberries, and it becomes blueberry yogurt. Or they throw in some strawberries, and it becomes strawberry yogurt. Or they throw in some cookies, and it becomes cookies and cream yogurt. It's one yogurt in 9 flavors, you know, and that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's one fruit in 9 flavors: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm living proof, sisters, that you can spend decades trying to figure out what's wrong with you, and it will not produce the fruit. It won't. The Bible contrasts the fruit, singular, of the Spirit with the works, plural, of the flesh. What's wrong with me is a work of the flesh. Why can't I keep up with all this stuff I'm trying to do for God? You know, skipping my quiet time. I didn't have all the blanks filled in for the weekly women's Bible study. Again, I'm such a loser. But hey, at least I'm not as bad as Susie Schmoozy over there. I mean, for real, what is wrong with that woman? And why isn't my husband the spiritual leader, as long as we're on the subject of what's wrong with everybody? What's wrong with him? He's supposed to be the spiritual leader, and that includes watching the Fireproof movie once a week. I mean, I bought him the DVD, the book, the workbook, and I keep putting it back on his nightstand. He's supposed to lead family devotionals. He needs to get with it. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with these rotten kids of mine after everything I've done for them? They want to embarrass me in public. Don't get me started on my ridiculous church, please. See, once you open the door to that question, what's wrong with, it just becomes a cavalcade. See, this fault finding, it can be just a bad habit. It can become your character, or it can be spiritual. Now, I'm not trying to get spooky on everybody, but God showed me in my life, it was spiritual. Here's the clue. If you are an expert not only on what's wrong with you, but on what's wrong with everyone and everything around you, there could be something very spiritual going on here. See, this, I call it a fault-finding spirit. Please don't look it up in the Bible. You won't find it. But I call it a spirit of fault-finding, or critical spirit, if you will. It wants to draw your attention away from the perfection of Jesus and get you focused on everything that's wrong. I'm going to be real honest and confess to you that very recently, and I've struggled with this probably for a decade, maybe, I became absolutely addicted to politics. Like internet, like Sean Hannity, now you know my politics, lean to the right. Who is the other guy? Oh, my God, this is beautiful. I couldn't remember his name. Bill O'Reilly, Hot Air, Ann Coulter. I became absolutely addicted to this stuff, especially, you know, during election seasons. And you know it's an addiction for sure when it begins to negatively affect your relationships. And it did. My whole family was like, oh, no, not Bill O'Reilly again. Why did it have such a powerful stronghold in my life? And Deanna has promised not to tell anyone, but she walked through this with me just this fall. I could not break free because it was spiritual. It was that critical spirit. That fault-finding spirit. Christian politicians ripping each other's throats out. What's wrong with each other? What's wrong with your policy? I mean, again, we need to be well-balanced. Should a Christian vote and be involved? Yes, but I'm telling you, for me, it was Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who wants to point out what's wrong with everybody and everything and everyone's politics and all this jazz. It really can be fueled by some dark things. God just calls us to repentance. And love, his love, covers over a multitude of sins, including yours. And I guess what I want to say about the politics is that until I acknowledged that something spiritual was going on and that I needed a spiritual solution, I was not going to break free. I think that may be all I want to say on this. Oh, here I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Here's what I have come to, because again, we don't want to go on crazy fishing expeditions and see a demon under every rock. But sometimes the bondage does have a spiritual element, and obviously it's not the Holy Spirit, though. It's some other kind of spirit, you know, trying to influence us. And by the way, if you have not recently read C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters, if you've never read it, you need to read it. And if you haven't read it in a decade, you need to reread it. How subtle the enemy can be. And I pray this prayer, any spirit or any spiritual force seeking to affect me in any way that does not joyfully bend the knee to Jesus Christ, I command you to leave at once. And Jesus, I thank you that you send the Holy Spirit to shut the lion's mouth. The lion, the enemy, wants to roar and scream in my ear all that's wrong with me, all that's wrong with the world. And I say, Jesus, send the Holy Spirit to shut the lion's mouth. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And sister, some of you need to pray that prayer. If there's a critical spirit, a fault-finding spirit, that's always in your ear telling you what's wrong with you, what's wrong with him, what's wrong with everyone, what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with that song, what's wrong with that worship leader, you need to pray this prayer. Any spiritual force seeking to affect me in any way that does not joyfully bend the knee to Jesus Christ, I command you to cease and desist. I command you to leave me alone at once. So today there's no acronym. There's just two questions. There's one that's worth asking and one that is absolutely not worth asking. What's wrong with me is not a question worth asking. What's right with Jesus is a question worth asking. And believe it or not, you will make more spiritual progress in 3 months focusing on all that's right with Jesus than you will of 21 years of trying to figure out what's wrong with you and even having a helpful parent like me trying to help you discover everything that's wrong with you. And that's why I wanted to have my daughter share her testimony. And which question do you think will fill your heart with the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Deanna, you have a word. You have a devotional.
I do. But first, I have something that ties to this also, just from my own personal journey that has come up. And, you know, there's, for me, probably a decade of my recovery process. You know, I'm so thankful that you and I get to take, you have, you know, a couple decades ahead of me. But we get to take what the Lord has shown us in decades, and he's really just speeding up the process right now. You know, he's kind of going back to basics with the simplicity of his plan. And, you know, people don't have to spend 20 years in recovery like I did, or, you know, working your steps first time through, second time through, third time through, fourth time through. We can really, really, if we will yield to this process. But two of the things that really, really were a stronghold that through prayer and fasting and all these things that I had to be broken off of me, and like you, growing up in what I grew up in, you were talking about how Leah in 3 months had to go and get a renewing of her mind. She had to be retrained in her way of thinking in how to come to Jesus. And you know, for me, my upbringing taught me how to be a perfect performer. You know, it's all about keeping up with the Joneses and what are people going to think, and don't let you, I mean, you got, get it together. And, you know, you talked about, oh my gosh, my children embarrassed me when they said, they're going to speak. And, you know, our kids are going to speak on what's going on behind our closed doors. They just are. They're going to reveal those things. But performance and perfectionism well into my Christian life were places that I was bound. I was constantly in fear of, if I do this wrong, what are they going to think? If I don't do it perfect, am I going to be pulled out of my call? Are they going to, you know, take away my platform? And I'll tell you what the root of that was. It was legalism. And behind the legalism was a religious spirit. Those things, I know, can also come, you know, if you've grown up under, you know, certain practices in your home, that it can also be about religion versus a relationship. Lots of our ladies that are on this call right now are like, wow, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I thank you, you know, for the simplicity and the power, like just the blood of Jesus, just the blood of Jesus. So that, you know, is something that the Lord brought to my heart, was to share a little bit of my own personal testimony as tied to what we were talking about, which, you know, ask the Holy Spirit about religious spirits as well, and that critical mindset that might come from a root of legalism. And if you tend to be a performer and everything has to be perfect, you may also project that onto everybody else. Another testimony just about how right on God is, and this is bringing us to our word for today. The verse that you referenced in Luke 11:34 on having single focus, that was the word that launched this devotional that I'm writing. The beginning of the year, our corporate fast of our church coming together, and our family pastor, in absence of our senior pastor, was preaching about becoming single-focused, what do we focus our eye on, and encouraged us that during our 21-day fast that we would focus on God. And in fact, he did an exercise with the church and said, you know, right now I want to show you how when we come into the presence of God, he'll give you a word. Ask him if there's one word that he wants you to focus on this year. And I've since thanked him, because I believe the title of the book, this daily devotional, is called One Word from You. So, Donna, right on. God is definitely speaking. He's lining up all these pieces. I am single-focused, and my single focus today to share with the group is the word restore. Restore. Here we go. What do you have that needs to be restored? How much time have you spent with me regarding that broken area of your life? Not just crying to me about it, but asking me my opinion, asking me for the solution, asking me for the wisdom that will allow you to see me restore. When your soul has plunged into distress, I restore. When you are exhausted, weary, troubled, anxious, worn down with care, I restore. I bring back your vigor. I encourage your spirit. I excite it to new effort and fill it with joy. I cause my life to return to you. I cause you to live a fully restored life. When I restore, things are converted, revived, transformed, and refreshed. I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal. I will restore your sense of security from being cast out and rejected. Your times of lack, being impoverished, even destitute, I will restore those areas. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise my name for dealing wondrously with you. You shall never again be put to shame. I can restore your fortunes and give you twice as much as you had before. Do not fear. Count on me to restore you. A bruised reed I will not break, and a faintly burning wick I will not quench. I will faithfully bring forth justice. You will not grow faint or be discouraged. I establish justice in the earth. When you need restoration, let me be your hiding place. I will protect you from trouble and surround you with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. My unfailing love surrounds those who trust in me. I long to restore the joy of your salvation. Remember the feelings of those early days when I was your first love, when your life was devoted to the things of me and the simplicity of praising me, getting to know me, and feeling my presence when that was your ultimate desire. Return to that place. Come be restored in your relationship with me. You are my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon you, therefore you walk in restoration power. Come, now is the time. I have been wanting to restore you for so long. All that is in your life can be restored as you go from glory to glory in me. I can purge your life, the sin you live, the wounds of your soul. I can wash you and make you whiter than snow. the many troubles and calamities you've experienced, I will revive and restore you again. From the depths of the earth, I will bring you up again. I will increase your greatness and comfort you again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?
Thank you, Deanna, for sharing these devotionals. I know you labor, not labor, but you spend time before the Lord and let him give these to you. I would like to ask you to pray over my Leah. I've brought her back into my office, and she is needing breakthrough in the area of her health and financial provision and open doors to the ministry that God has for her in Uganda. And she might get mad at me for asking this one, but if God has a spouse for her, his perfect will, that she would not be tempted to settle for second best. And before I give the phone to her to have you pray over her, you know, the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He's writing the story. And as you look at him, he's going to do everything perfectly. You can't write your own story, and you can't live a perfect life. Jesus has got that already taken care of. So, Deanna, I'm going to give the phone to Leah so that you can pray over her. And just go ahead and just close in prayer, and that'll be a wrap for today. Here she is. Hello.
Hi, sweetheart. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Let's pray. Ooh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. We love you. Let all that we do be because of your love in us. God, your word says that we can do all kinds of things, and without love, it's just useless, it's pointless, and it's worthless. I thank you that your love is in Leah. I thank you that she is in love with you. I thank you that her steps are ordered, Father God. I thank you that there's already a total path that you have carved out for her, and I thank you that you instruct her in which steps to take. I thank you that you empower her to not turn to the left and not turn to the right, to not get ahead of herself. I thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that you have already gone every day ahead, that she has yet to embrace, that she has yet to get excited about. I thank you that because you have already gone ahead of her and because you have already every day of her life, that you have ordained her steps, that every bit of vision that you have given her has already been provided for. In your kingdom realm is already everything necessary for her to fully experience the call that you have placed on her. This was not her bright idea. She didn't go to a seminar and take a class on how to become a missionary. You spoke that over her. You spoke what was already inside of her spirit before she was even formed in her mother's womb. She was created to be a missionary. You knew the country that you would send her to. You knew the people that would hear your word through her, through the feet, the blessed feet that bring the gospel of good news. I thank you, Father God, that a spouse that may be in her future, that you already have him assigned for her. You already have him set aside for her. You already have him pursuing your heart, diving deep into your heart, because deep in your heart is the only place that he's going to find a gem like Leah, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the training and the equipping. I thank you for the experience, not just the logos, the written word that instructs her and inspires her, but the rhema word, the word that comes from your spirit when she spends that time in your presence. And I just declare over Leah, and we wrap up this call, you asked me to share all of these promises that can be found in Proverbs 10. We have healing promised and assured, and right now regarding Leah's health, we plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We apply that blood of Jesus right now. We anoint you, Leah, on the top of your head down to the tips of your toes, and we call your body into order in the way that God designed it to heal itself, to nourish itself when we do good temple maintenance, when we exercise and take care of ourselves, that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, that our bodies contain the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is power and is life for us, and we declare that over sickness, that the blood of Jesus comes and that by his stripes you are healed. I thank you for not just for Leah, for those that are expecting financial breakthrough and are seeking your direction, Father God, because you've called us, and in this process of experiencing breakthrough, part of the empowerment is to learn to just trust in you, to trust in you, to not lean on our own in our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge you and to know that you will direct our path. You will direct our path. Just like when in the Bible when it was tax time and you directed them to look in the fish's mouth for the gold coin, you direct them. Just when the prophet was needing to eat, it wasn't so much for him, but he came to the widow's house and she was about to prepare the last meal thinking she and her son were going to die. You direct us. You direct us. You directed her to go gather more vessels, collect more jars. As many as you have faith to collect, he will fill them with his oil. And I thank you for these examples in the Bible, Lord, that we can trust, we can believe, and we can fully expect that you're going to direct us to step to where your provision has already been made for these ginormous, out of this world, supernatural sized calls, businesses, destinies that you have ordained. So, Father God, we thank you that in Proverbs 10 it tells us that the godly are showered with blessings. We thank you that because we are yours, you shower us with blessings. The blessings of the Lord make a person rich, and you add no sorrow with it. I thank you, Lord, that you make a person rich, and you add no sorrow with it. I thank you, Lord, that your word tells us that the fears of the wicked will all come true, but so will the hopes of the godly. We're standing on that promise today, God. We're standing on your word. You said that you are not man that you could lie. Your word is true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you said that the hopes of the godly will come true. You said that when disaster strikes like a cyclone, whirling the wicked away, that the godly have a lasting foundation. I thank you that we have a lasting foundation, that when the winds of this world and the circumstances of life come to try to devastate and discourage us, that we know we are yours and we have a lasting foundation. I thank you that the hopes of the godly result in happiness. We have happiness. We can count on the results of our destinies to produce happiness. I thank you that we will never be disturbed. I thank you that our right living is a safeguard against death, that as we are disciplined and we grow in the fruit of your spirit, it will produce right living. That will be a safeguard against death. I thank you that you rescue us from danger. I thank you that your word says upright citizens bless a city and make it prosper. And I thank you that Leah and every woman that is listening, that we are upright citizens, that we bless our cities and we make them prosper. Every place that you send us, every place that our foot is placed by your direction, we have an inheritance there and we claim it in Jesus' name. You said that our own souls are nourished when we are kind. You said that the reward of the godly will last. You said that we can look forward to happiness. And you said that if we search for good, we will find favor. We will find favor. So I pray these things over these ladies. I release this prophetic word that you asked me to give, God. We declare that these things, these promises of you are yes and amen. They are in Jesus. They are secured. They have already been provided for. And we ask for you to show us how to release them. You told us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray that today. Bring your kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, ladies. That's a wrap. We'll see you on Monday. The assignments for the weekends will be posted on the Facebook group. See you next week. Bye-bye.